This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday afternoon, March 25th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. ESPN viewership rises as Caitlin Clark's basketball skills take center stage. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, we have a busy economic week ahead that includes data on housing, manufacturing, and consumers. Joining us now with a preview is Bob Bruska, chief economist, fact and opinion economics based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And let's take a look at the housing market. New home sales down, and for that you can blame a plunge in the Northeast.
Yes, yeah. Well, of course, the Northeast is a small region for new home sales, but there was a decline of 31% month to month, which is pretty large. So, you know, during winter months you get this, you know, the data are seasonally adjusted, but now, when you get hit with particularly bad weather or something like that, the seasonal factors don't adjust for that. So, you know, we also had a decline in the Midwest. We had significant increases, 3.7%, 2.3% in the South and the West. So right now it's kind of a mixed regional market, and we'll see if this decline means anything. If we look at sales, for example, over the last year, sales are also mixed, with the Northeast and Midwest up, and with the South and the West, or with the South down and the West up strongly. So it's been pretty mixed regionally as well over the last year.
And the good news is, though, at least as far as new home construction is concerned, the supply of new homes for sale rose by a little over a percentage point between January and February. So those construction crews are hard at work even during the colder winter months.
Yeah, well, let's remember, all these data are seasonally adjusted. So, you know, I worked with a guy at the Fed, an old sage by the name of Paul Meek, who used to say, I don't know about looking at seasonally adjusted data. He said, you know, seasonally adjusted, the Great Lakes never freeze.
That is a very good way of putting seasonally adjusted data into perspective. And then, but it seems like the new home sector is the bright spot in the housing market, even in a sector that is really interest rate sensitive. I mean, it seems like mortgage rates tick up once again and all the buyers run away.
Yeah, well, okay, well, let's take a look at what happened. Okay, this month the median prices fell 3.5%, average prices fell month to month 7.3%. Year over year, median prices are down by 7.6%. Year over year, average prices are down by 2.8%. So the builders, they control their prices, right? So they have more control. They can decide what to do. If they want to have a few more sales, they can cut prices here and there. Existing home sales, for example, you know, that's you and me selling our house. And a lot of people selling houses really don't want to cut, they want to cut the price. And also you got people living in houses they don't want to sell at all because the mortgage rate is so low. And they wouldn't mind selling the house if they could keep the mortgage rate. But of course, it doesn't work that way. Well, it used to work that way. It doesn't work that way anymore. You used to be able to actually sell your house and sell your mortgage rate. But they stopped that practice a long time ago.
Bob Bruska, chief economist, fact and opinion economics, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, ESPN's ratings soar with Caitlin Clark's dominance on the basketball court. We'll talk about that next.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
ESPN's coverage of the women's NCAA basketball tournament is skyrocketing in ratings, primarily fueled by Iowa's standout player, Caitlin Clark. Joining us with the latest on ESPN and Clarkonomics is Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Verter Group in Chicago. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And the two killer apps when it comes to sports coverage and generating ratings are storylines and stars, and the women's NCAA tournament has both of them this time around.
No question. I mean, Caitlin Clark is a once-in-a-generation star that not only adds fuel to what has already been a growing trend in viewership for women's collegiate basketball, but frankly, also somebody, and ESPN certainly recognizes this as the home of the women's tournament, that she and her story, right, not unlike, say, the Olympics every 4 years or 2 years, brings in casual fans to the mix, right? People who have never fancied themselves as being women's college basketball fans, maybe even live sports enthusiasts, or perhaps sort of the traditional sports fan that hasn't sort of gotten the memo that women's sports is not only a thing, but actually can be more intriguing and more fun to watch than what the men have historically done. So it's a bigger tent, especially given the event of this tournament, this fact that she, Caitlin Clark, is in the last part of her collegiate career, gets ready to become a pro, and it's just an amazing opportunity for any rights holder to take advantage of that story, whether they're sports fans or huge college basketball fans or not.
Well, that leads you to a question that someone asked me over the weekend, which is why, when it comes to the men's tournament, you can watch it across a number of cable channels. You can watch it on traditional CBS. You can watch it on True TV. You can watch it on TBS. There are a number of places where you could catch all the games of the men's tournament. And they want to know why in the women's tournament it was just ESPN. And going forward, just because there are so many cable channels that are just simply programming deserts, will that become an appealing alternative for some cable channels to get in on the women's tournament and get some viewership there, as opposed to, you know, showing a 12-hour Matlock marathon every day?
Well, that's a tricky question given the timing of the question, right? Because we speak at a critical juncture where linear television, right, is being usurped in many cases, and even nibbled at by live sports by streaming. And I think the reality is that while the men's tournament is spread across three Warner Brothers Discovery channels as well as CBS, the reality of the women's tournament is that it is spread across the four, shall we say, linear television networks of ESPN, albeit all in cable, right? So the only difference really there is that unlike the men's game, all of the matches are in a cable environment versus the CBS games on the men's side. So it is being multiplexed, shall we say. So that argument is a little harder to sort of argue against. But the reality is that streaming is probably going to eat both of their lunches over time and, frankly, offer more opportunities to watch more games and maybe alternate casts and whatnot. So I think you'll see a lot more inventory, a lot more presentation of games in these tournaments, especially on the women's side, going forward with the advent of streaming. And ESPN certainly does not mind having all this wall-to-wall coverage across their networks, especially at like a date like today, where they're going from, I think, noon all the way to midnight with women's hoops.
Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Boeing's CEO is stepping down in the wake of ongoing safety issues.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Boeing's CEO announces he is stepping down at the end of the year as part of a comprehensive restructuring effort for the troubled aerospace giant. Joining us with the latest details is Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. Was the die cast the moment that plug door blew out of the Alaska Airlines flight back in January?
I can tell you that's where Boeing's situation became a soap opera, just one problem after the next. Airlines really lost confidence, I think, in both the production line, keeping that up fast enough to get those new jets they ordered, you know, plus just the unanticipated grounding of planes. And we saw Wall Street give a big vote of no confidence right after that.
And this is a situation where CEO Dave Calhoun came in to clean up after another quality control scandal in the wake of the grounding of the 737 MAX back in 2019.
Oh, no question. I mean, Boeing, even the last 10 years, we had some military controversies before that. And it's just time for the company to go back to the basics. And there's been a lot of sense that kind of the corporate speed to get things done, maybe compromise some of the inspections, listening to the engineers about the problems, because it's just been one thing after the other, even with the 787. And Airbus has had no such scandals of these proportions. So it's certainly not endemic to be in a manufacturer. So I think a fresh start was really in need here.
We're talking about the turmoil at Boeing with Joe Schwiederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Now, what are the ripple effects throughout the airline industry, especially for some of the major Boeing customers? Chicago-based United Airlines does fly quite a few Boeing aircraft, and United has found itself caught in the turbulence of the Boeing scandal. What's the impact there?
Well, we certainly did. Was a shot across the bow. United CEO made the comment that he had no confidence that Boeing's production line was going to meet the stated goals, and they weren't planning on those planes coming. And that was an indication that there's a high level of frustration among executives. You know, Southwest, of course, took it on the chin with the MAX grounding. They've mostly stayed quiet about the problems. They're pretty loyal to that 737. But, you know, I can tell you that airlines want those planes. I mean, fuel prices are up, and they need those for summer travel, and that production line's moving quite slowly.
What can be done at Boeing? It seems like the company needs almost like a top-to-bottom once-over to see where the problems are.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at today's manufacturing, and there's just no margin for error, so to speak. And, you know, not as if Boeing is being accused of just overall shoddy manufacturing. It's just these small things have gotten overlooked. And I think the recent 737-800 door blowout was an indication of that, that there was some steps missed in that. So I do think a new CEO will convince the employees that it's a new day. You know, we're going back to the basics with manufacturing perfection, you might say. And it's hard to do that with the old administration, you know, having just so much answering to do to Wall Street.
Joe Schwiederman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Thank you for joining us today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Former President Trump is responding to this morning's court proceedings. The latest coming up at a CBS News special report. On the Noon Business Hour, if you've already filed your income taxes before the April 15th deadline, it's a good idea to start prepping for next year's filing. Plus, it's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get some tips from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the market are lower right now. The Dow down 145 points. The NASDAQ is down 6. And the S&P 500 is down 9. AccuWeather says for the rest of today, mostly cloudy, windy, milder, a couple of showers, highs between 64 and 68 tonight, windy and mild with rain at times and a low near 50. 54 degrees right now in Chicago with light rain. It's 1231.
CBS News Special Report. Former President Trump's accused the Biden administration of election interference amid his ongoing legal troubles.
Every single one of them is run by Biden and his thugs. It's the only way they think they can get elected. And I think so far it's backfiring because the people of this country understand it. It's backfiring.
Trump's comments, a sort of stump speech in New York today, where a judge set an April 15th start date for his hush money trial. It was originally set to start today. CBS campaign reporter Katrina Kaufman.
Ultimately, the judge decided that the DA is not at fault in any way for this late document production, and this trial is going to proceed on April 15th.
Another judge also delayed and reduced a payment in Trump's civil fraud judgment. CBS's Errol Barnett.
It's only $175 million that Donald Trump would need to put up as he continues to appeal the decision itself.
He's got another 10 days to pay it. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Stocks are lower today. Joining us with the latest on what's moving Wall Street is Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist with Murphy & Sylvestre in Chicago. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like investors are hedging just a little bit today, wondering if maybe the markets are overextended.
Well, I think they are. I mean, we've gone pretty much straight up, almost 30% from the Halloween lows. We've had, I think, 4 weeks out of the last 18 that have actually been negative, and only two of those were less than a half a percent. So investors have been very willing to grab at lower interest rates. And I think, too, Chair Powell confirmed that last week, and that led to the best rally of the year last week for stocks.
Right now we have the Dow at 39,333. It was knocking on the door of 40,000 last week. And if you're an investor, it seems like a good time to catch your breath.
I think it is. And, you know, when you look at valuations, essentially, you know, when we take a look at earnings and what those projections are going to be for this year, if you take that and look at where the indices are, you're looking at probably a 22 to 24 multiple average is somewhere around 20, or I should say the high side usually is around 20. Average is somewhere in that 16 to 18% range. So from a valuation perspective, we're well ahead of probably where we should be by year end 2025.
We're talking about what's moving the markets with Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist at Murphy & Sylvestre in Chicago. A couple of story stocks to discuss today, beginning with Chicago's very own United Airlines, stock falling 6% after the FAA said it would be heightening its scrutiny of the airline following a series of safety incidents. How does United come out of that? Is it an only time will tell type of situation, or do the markets look for specific moves to address investor concerns?
Yeah, I think in this case, especially where we're looking at Boeing as well, that I think it's a time will tell. Is it United? Is it Boeing? Is it the design of the planes? We're seeing now deliveries come down a little bit. A lot of airlines have curtailed some of their summer travel. So we are going to see some higher prices coming into the summer travel season. But I think there you're looking at a combination of Boeing and United, and the finger pointing will start. And I think it's going to take some time to really kind of sort out who's sitting where.
And then in the chip space, I mean, obviously, NVIDIA and the tech sector as a whole has been really driving this rally for the past year or so, just on the idea of productivity gains being driven by AI. But now we're talking about good old-fashioned protectionism, and that is China saying it would block chips from Intel and their government servers and computers. Is this part of the ongoing back and forth over TikTok?
I think so. I think we've been down this road now for probably the last 3 to 5 years in talking about, okay, what is going to be fair trade? What is China going to allow? What is the United States going to allow? We've talked a lot over the last 4 to 8 years about onshoring a lot of that business. So I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is that protectionist and talking and trying to get consumers and investors aware that there's going to be some higher costs coming down over the next 3 to 5 years as we start to build a lot of those plants here in the United States or certainly close by. This is going to be a transitional process that's going to take many, many years and an awful lot of dollars to effectuate but it's going to take a lot of time with that. But I think at its heart, it is very much about China and the U.S.
One look at inflation later this week, and that is the PCE index, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, which is the Fed's preferred reading on inflation. And even though it has the potential to be a market mover, it's out on Friday morning. Markets are closed. So if the markets do move, they move next Monday.
On April Fool's Day, no less. So yes, we may see other markets move because not all markets will be closed on Friday. But yes, that's going to be an interesting one to take a look at. The futures may also be open. We may get an indication certainly on how far away from expectations. But listening to Powell last week, he is not nearly as concerned about inflation as he is about economic growth. He is very concerned that U.S. economic growth may slow in the second half, and that's what's giving him the reason to talk and continue to talk about interest rates cut in the second half of the year.
Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor, Market Strategist, Murphy and Sylvester in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, tips on prepping for next year's taxes. It's all about staying ahead of the game. We'll tell you how.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Tax season's end is near. If you've already filed, it's time to prep for next year. Joining us with some key advice is Elizabeth Bufardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners and co-chair of the Personal Financial Planning Forum for the Illinois CPA Society in Oak Brook. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us today. I know you're like knee deep in your busy season for tax preparation. So the day after the filing deadline, is that like when a football player wins the Super Bowl? Do you just sit there and say, is that when you turn the out of office on and go to Disney World?
Pretty much.
Well, the finish line is in sight, so that's got to be a great feeling. But if you're really proactive, once you're done filing for 2023, it's time to start thinking about next year. So what are some things you can do as a tax filer to lay the groundwork for filing for this year's taxes?
So back when everything was in paper, I used to have a folder or an envelope or whatever, you know, vehicle you want, and I would put in all the things that I would collect throughout the year. I'm also very, I'll say, particular, for to be polite to myself, about how I organize stuff.
Well, you are a CPA. I mean, I would hope so.
Exactly. So I would have a folder that I would put all my stuff in. So throughout the years, I would give money to different organizations. I would collect all those thank you letters and put it into that file folder. And then at the end of the year, when I started getting all my 10, or the following year, when I would get all my 1099s, I would put all of that in. So that way everything was hopefully all in one spot, and it made filing tax returns so much easier. So because you're not running around searching for different things. The other thing you can do, especially now that everything's electronic, is make yourself a file folder in your drive. So that way you can say, you can put in all those receipts, you can scan them right in, or I would even have a Word document that you can make yourself little notes. So you did a certain thing that's going to affect your taxes, or you paid an estimated payment on a certain date, and here's how much, and the check number, and all that sort of stuff.
We're talking about how you can prepare for next year's tax filing season with Elizabeth Bufardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners in Oak Brook. And not only, even if your personal income and personal financial situation is not exactly complicated, maybe the standard deduction applies to you. Maybe it's just you write off your mortgage interest and your property taxes, and that's it. If you find yourself in a situation where maybe you're owing and you don't want to do that anymore, can you go back and take a look at what's being withheld from your biweekly paycheck and kind of reduce that sticker shock once March or April rolls around?
Definitely. I think, you know, a lot of people always like to get those giant refunds in, you know, at the end of the tax season. And I personally don't believe in that, because basically you're giving the government a 0% interest loan. And when interest rates are, you know, 4% and 5%, why are you giving them money and earning 0% on it? That seems crazy to me. If you are one of those people that want to reduce what you owe, then you can have more money taken out of your out of your paycheck each week. So all you have to do is go to your HR department, and I'm blanking on the name of the form. I think it's a W-4, and you just change the number of exemptions. So the less exemptions that you have, the more that will be taken out of your paycheck. So that I would consider doing that. But I would not consider getting those giant refunds because of the idea that you're giving the government a 0% interest loan.
And then lastly, and very quickly, how closely should you pay attention to kind of the machinations in Washington, the 2017 tax bill that kind of redid a whole bunch of things? That's going to roll off the books. That's going to expire early next year. And the results of the election will determine what happens after that. That's not really going to impact you this year. Is that the case? I mean, this is more of a 2026 thing.
Right. It'll definitely be in 2026. So the way the law is written at the moment is that we will revert back to the old rates and rules and brackets that we had back in 2017 on 1/1/2026. So because we'll know who's going to be president by 2025, that may change things a little bit, but I'm not necessarily expecting it to change things a lot. There's basically three options that that Congress and the president can do. They can have it expire the way that the law is currently written. They can make some changes and tweaks here and there, but basically keep what we have. And then they can, you know, totally rewrite everything and, you know, do whatever they're going to do. So I think that the way that I'm looking at it, particularly for all my clients, is that we are reverting back to what we used to have. And what we used to have was a higher tax rate, higher tax brackets, meaning the percentages that we paid. And we had narrower brackets of like how much income you could have in each of the different brackets. So I think that people might want to start thinking about, gee, I'm going to have to pay more in taxes theoretically in 2026. And what do I need to do now in order to set myself up so that way it's not, a major catastrophe?
Elizabeth Bifardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners and co-chair of the Personal Financial Planning Forum for the Illinois CPA Society in Oak Brook. Thank you for joining us today.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We welcome in Ken Crawford, portfolio manager, Argent Capital in Clayton, Missouri. Ken, thank you for joining us today. Two selections today, and your first selection is from the nutritional space.
That's right, Rob. BellRing Brands. People might not be familiar with the name, but they're probably familiar with Premier Protein Shakes. We like the company for a couple of reasons. One of them is that people are eating more nutritiously, so protein certainly plays into that. Another thing that's going on that I'm sure you and your listeners have heard about are GLP-1s, appetite suppressants, designed to help people lose weight, lower cholesterol, etc. When people take those drugs, their appetite becomes diminished, so they still need to put good things into their body, but they just don't want to eat a lot of stuff, and we think that BellRing's protein shakes would benefit from that.
And the ticker symbol is BRBR, and then your next selection comes from the world of aerospace.
Yes, which has been a little bit controversial of late. Today we saw Boeing's CEO say he was going to resign, but the company that we like is TransDigm. They are an original equipment and aftermarket supplier to aerospace. One of the things that the headlines certainly indicate is that regulatory focus is being applied to aerospace. In order to get a product on a 737 or an Airbus or what have you, it has to go through rigorous testing and then be spec'd in. So when TransDigm gets one of its parts on a plane, that part stays on the plate for the life of the plane. So they get a good amount of money in the first sale, original equipment, but considerably better profits, better margins in after sales. So to the degree that we're looking more closely at our planes and making sure that they're going to be flight worthy, we think that TransDigm as a supplier of product to aerospace will benefit.
Ken Crawford, Portfolio Manager, Argent Capital in Clayton, Missouri. Thank you for joining us on this Stock Picker Monday. His selections, Bell Ring Brands, BRBR, and TransDigm Group, TDG.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.